You are listening to In Response, a legacy podcast. A show where three handsome guys talk about their favorite Magic the Gathering format, Legacy. This show is brought to you by QueerNessAtAnyCost.com and Austrian-Legacy.com. You can support the show at patreon.com/response_legacy. And now, lean back and enjoy.
And welcome to episode 67, no changes, question mark, of
In Response, a legacy podcast.
I'm Philipp Klein.
I am Daniel.
And I'm Peter Plank.
And we're talking about legacy.
Most of the time.
In Response to the Media. This is the section of the show where we respond to current topics of the community. This time we talk about the two-day announced B&R announcement for Magic the Gathering. So, for Legacy, there was no changes.
Wow. as I have thought, actually.
Yeah, I think this was pretty kind of predictable, I would say. My feeling was, the bet that I had most bets on either Grief Ban.
Wait, what? Why? Oh, okay, explain it afterwards, yeah.
Was like the closest thing that I could imagine, but yeah, this was like 5% chance or something that I would guess, but 95% as happened, no changes, obviously. Why Grief Ban, you ask?
We can talk about this later. I had a bet running like it was maybe Underscore Goblin would get DX because the sticker ability is kind of hated universally by almost everyone. Peter, what did you thought that would get the X?
I think it was the expected result with no changes. I think it would have been more likely that we get some unbans, even they usually don't do it in a really stable and good metagame as we currently have. So, Yeah, it's like I was thinking there was nothing coming and we got exactly that.
You weren't thinking that was nothing coming. I mean, you're at least tried to make profit out of that. Then,
yeah, I mean, I put some cards basically into my shopping cart on Card Market because, like, maybe we get survival unban or even Earthcraft, for example, and those are reserved list cards. So you kind of have to have it in the bag when the announcement drops. And then buy it immediately because, like, those cards would skyrocket. But as we said multiple times on, like, MTG Goldfish and the round tables, we really do not expect any reserved cards get unbanned because it would have been really disastrous because the price spikes would be insane.
Could be. I mean, I think, I don't know about the survival unban theory. Maybe it would work. It seems that, I can agree that they would not really touch anything. Yeah, because it is really scary, right? So there is cards like, well, the recently unbanned Mind's Desire, for example, it requires quite a bit of setup. And whereas cards like Survival of the Fittest is something that always the designers have to keep in mind when creating new sets, because those cards only can get better and better because more options are introduced into the format by new creatures, new cards, and this makes the survival card a little bit of risky unban, I would say. Although maybe it is fine for the time being.
Yeah, because the cards like Survival or Birthing Party Modern are always cards that are engines to the respectable archetypes. And yeah, like I said, they only get better. I think that was also the reasoning they did behind Birthing Pod, that they can't unban Birthing Pod ever because the creatures are just getting better and better. And so the targets for Birthing Pod get better and better. And that's also the thing with Survival.
Yeah. But like I said, in the banning and restricted announcement, you mentioned goblins, Philip. The first card that they mentioned actually is the new broadside bombardier from.
Really?
That is actually implemented into the goblin deck. I was kind of surprised that they mentioned this card first.
Yeah, for sure.
In their text, saying that the legacy meta game has shifted a little bit towards that direction by implementing this new card. And the second big card that they talk about is Orcish Bowmasters, which I also find a little bit surprising. I mean, I guess it's okay because Bowmaster is really played to a big extent in numbers. But I feel when you play the format, there are more oppressive cards at the moment. And I don't think that people have reported really having excruciatingly bad experiences with playing against Bowmaster. Although, of course, a lot of strategies are like infuriated because of the card. And it's not really a depressing card to play against, I would say.
I mean, I get the sentiment that a lot of people have, that's like you can't play any X1s anymore, or a lot of them are pretty much useless now. And I totally get that. But if we look past that, I think Bowmaster was a net positive for the format. I think the card drawing hindrance that it provides is just so... it's easily splashable for almost every deck, and it just provides so much utility and so much value, and it opens up a lot of new or a lot of strategies to combat the blue menace that is ruling Legacy since inception, basically. So in my opinion, Bowmaster is nowhere near to be banned. They said they keep an eye on it. For me, I always think the Bowmaster is here to stay.
Yeah, and one thing that I think we should mention is like Bowmaster was specifically mentioned together with Ponder, Brainstorm, and Force of Will in the segment that it does not have the meta share of those cards. And it's a creature, it's a strong creature, it specifically punishes the blue decks, or to a better extent nowadays, exceptionally the Beanstalk decks, because they rely on so much card draw. But it's not a card that has to be played in blue decks. It's also played there because they have to combat the other blue decks. But yeah, it's such a strong card that does not disallow something from your opponent. It's always a little bit bad when you have something like Narset. If like Bowmaster has the ability of Narset that you can't draw an additional card, it would have been insane and has to be banned.
Yeah, for sure.
But it's a trade-off. You can play Ponder, you draw a card, it gets bigger the orc, and you get pinged for one. It's a trade-off that you can do. And something that we also have to mention here with Broadside Bombardier. Broadside Bombardier is a card that sped up a lot of decks that had difficulty finishing off the blue decks, for example, because it's such a difficult card to block because of the menace, because it can boast before declaring blockers. So if you shoot down a Chromox laying around and shoot down the second creature, the board side still gets in. And it has a lot of finishing power. If you like flip a Trinisphere for 5 damage into your opponent's face after they can't do anything anymore, it's like really interesting that we have now, as they made later on, like the Stompy decks, for example, they got another tool to combat the getting bigger decks, the midrange and the later ongoing decks.
I think it's kind of like I said, a philosophy style. If you want to have Legacy always be the blue soup and the blue basically meta or blue favorite meta, then for sure I can totally understand that Bowmaster is a loss for you. I mean, I can totally see that. But if in my opinion, if we want the most diverse meta game that we could probably imagine, that think maybe Bowmaster is a part of that.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think at the moment concerning Legacy, Wizards has two kind of philosophies. The first one is the diversity driven aspect. That is for sure the main philosophy when they try to select or want to ban cards. They don't want to have cards that are predominantly in one specific deck, and Bowmasters can go into a lot of different decks, which is therefore a reason why they choose not to ban it immediately. But they also believe in a little bit of nostalgic and like identification of a format, which is actually Ponder Brainstorm Force, because they originally said in a previous announcement, I think, if it was not due to that, Ponder Brainstorm Force would long be banned at this time. So they respect a little bit the sentiment of players. Okay, they want the three cards to be in the format. This is the identity of the format. But other than that, they don't want to make new cards, and then we only have one big strong deck at this meta game. And I think overall, the decision is of course right. It is no changes is pretty much expected, and it will be interesting how the meta game will evolve. Maybe at some point the mentioned cards like Bowmasters or even something out of Goblins. I mean, I would be really surprised. I don't know about you, but I would be really surprised if we would suddenly see a ban of a Goblin deck in Legacy as a next ban.
Like I said beforehand, the only thing that I can imagine is the underscore Goblin, because of the really atrocious sticker.
Maybe.
Sticker deck function.
I still have my bets on Grief.
This is but why? That was the what was the original question here?
I think it goes in a lot of different decks still, but there's one big deck that we will talk about in maybe a future episode, which is the Scam deck. There's also in particular the combination with Reanimator, and people have been reporting that the playing against this Grief Reanimate package, like the Scam package, if you want to call it that way, does feel quite miserable. Because if they have the Scam thing turn one, it's just not feeling like a good Legacy gameplay overall. Whereas Bowmaster does not lead to these kind of feelings or these experiences from opponent's side. That's why Grief is not so nice in the format in that sense, because it doesn't lead to great experiences or great gameplay. And Grief is this card where actually it's not that all-in combo where you have to pitch it and reanimate it to get the value, but Grief is really in the middle, because you can actually just hard cast the card, and it's good in the early game and good in the late game as well. So that's one of the reasons why I think this would be the biggest contender in that sense. This is
everything you say makes total sense, but in my opinion it comes down to this is still a non-game winning two card combo. It's a 3/2. You have a lot, I think 7 turns or 6 turns time to find a solution, and they need 3 cards for that.
I mean, they get 2 cards out of your hand for that, which is, to some extent, the reason why it leads to some amount of non-games. It's Grief Reanimate is really strong, and especially like in a format where we have some decks that rely on, for example, Troll of Khazad-dûm, the Land Cyclers. If you get your opponent to basically kill off, they kept like a one lander with, and how is it called, the blue one, the sorcery that you can...
Lauren revealed
that they can cycle for like an island. So you kept them at one land and they don't have any more cantrips, and they lose because they don't draw a land. So it has some factor of leading to non-games.
But that's bad deck building, in my opinion. If you have to keep a one lander with a Lauren revealed and then you die to Grief, Then the fault is on you.
I
mean,
sometimes I do in Beanstalk. I sometimes do this.
But not against Grief decks.
It depends on the rest of the hand, I would say. I would not sign off and that I would always mull this. This is for sure what I would say. It depends. It depends, I can say. For me, it depends. Overall, though, I think we will watch the meta in that sense, how it will evolve. And I think right now we just passed over the weekend, and what we witnessed is, of course, another nice round of the Four Seasons tournament series, this time the winter edition. It was just played out, and we had, I think it was really popular, populating very well all over all Europe. It was live streamed again on the Twitch site, and we have a pretty interesting top 8, I think, that we can talk about of this tournament.
Oh, for sure. I mean, we have some nice faces that we know in the top 8. Very great to have all of them really playing their best Magic again. It's always like the same people are winning all the time or going into top 8. It's just interesting to see, and I really love that fact that skill is still paying off even in these power creeping times of MTG.
So we have from first to 8. I will read the names.
Yeah,
Daniel, do you do me the favor with the deck lists?
Unfortunately, we don't have deck lists. We have the deck names because they aren't released yet.
So in first we have Marco Montani on.
Mm-hmm. He was on Grixis Delver, first place.
Then we have Dario Moreno.
Was on Goblins.
Turbo Sweet. Goblins.
Turbo Goblins, yeah.
Then we have Giacomo Lanzini.
He was on Rack Delver.
Samuel Sachocak.
This was really surprising for me. Green White Depths.
Then we have Enrico Bucci
on Black Green Depths.
Sweet. Then we have Manuel Drudi
on Scaminator.
Dalibor Cego
also on Scaminator.
And Alessandro Groscia
also on Scaminator.
So three Scaminator and two Delver decks in the top 8.
Yep.
Yeah, talk about Bowmaster keeping blue in check.
Which is, again, blue.
Yeah. I mean, four of the blue decks played Bowmasters.
Yeah.
And the red deck, Rag Delver, usually plays like the Questing Druid
which
doesn't draw cards, but exiles cards for
Caravaggio. I think right now it is not that common anymore, the Questing Druid in Grixis Delver decks. I think it's...
In Rag Delver, you mean?
You mentioned Rag Delver. Okay, yeah, sorry. Yeah, yeah. I thought you meant Grixis Delver.
No, in Grixis you don't play it. You play Bowmasters.
Obviously. I mean, you could just play it for the card draw, but doesn't make sense.
Does Grixis Delver nowadays still play Bauble?
Yeah.
Yeah, for I sure. Think, for Dragon Slayer
Champion. Yeah, a couple of them, usually.
You know what really fell out of favor? Tarmogoyf.
Tarmogoyf, yes.
Oh, how the mighty have fallen.
Yeah.
Do you still think it's unplayable? I mean, I saw Andreas last week rock four Tarmogoyf and chant.
It's not nostalgia. I really like and I love to see it all the time, but I just don't think it's power level worthy of 2024 anymore, unfortunately. Although I really loved.
I think I saw Andrea Mengucci played some Tarmogoyfs, and in some spot, he said they felt really good, but he said specifically in some spots.
Which is not a good sign.
Which is not they felt good, but in some spots they are good. So it's, I mean, it's still a big beater, but it doesn't have trample, it doesn't get any card advantage.
The new Goyf is Troll of Khazad-dûm.
No, the new Goyf is Murktide Regent, which is now a flying 6/6, 7/7, 8/8.
For the mana.
Pumps with every future copy. But it can be pyroblasted.
What I think interesting about this meta game, and this is what I wanted to discuss with you, we are 3 times Scaminate in the top 8. And if you have a look at social media and a couple of players that are were participating in the tournament, some of them were shifting, I think, anticipating Scaminator by going into not blue-black, but going into a bug version splashing Widowbloom commands and Uros all together with the scam package also. So basically Buck scam. Yeah.
Like Andrea Mengucci last year.
Also this event, I think he played.
Ah, okay.
I played some. Exactly. It was originally back then. And now, yeah, kind of again, I think to just have the edge in the mirror for having access to Uro, which is surprising to me because I unfortunately didn't make anyone into the top 8, which means that Scaminator just could perform still better.
Or is just better in the meta. It's like I've heard a talk about like the old standard meta game where the Chase Squadron Hawk deck was like Cobblade. Insane. Cobblade. And I don't know the name of the guy that won basically every weekend on the SCG tour, but he splashed on the one weekend red. On the next weekend, he splashed black because it's so good against the red version. Then he played the basic version again because the basic version beat now both of those decks. It's like, yeah, you kind of can evaluate on that, but sometimes it's not the right thing to do for the whole meta game. Maybe you can beat out your opponents that are specifically now on blue black Scaminator, but if you lose like the crucial percentage points against, for example, goblins or buck, it's like really hard, because I think if you play the buck Scaminator deck, you should be much worse versus buck control or buck midrange.
Yeah, because it's too much slower.
Yeah.
And to be mentioned also in this top 8 in general, it makes sense to me, but we have 2x a depth version, which I think indicates how, or really indicates that in the meta game, cards like Swords to Plowshares are really at the lowest point, actually, when compared to different times, of course.
Yeah.
You expect definitely some really control, white-based control decks.
Yeah, and that's something I don't really get, because Swords to Plowshares seems like maybe one of the best counters against Scaminator. Yeah. I mean, when I played my Mardu pile in the last time when we went to Bologna, if my opponent went turn one Grief and I just sorted him in response to it, for sure they took two cards out of my hand, but then the battlefield was always empty, I mean.
Maybe the problem, I'm just thinking about this kind of wildly, and maybe the problem is, in a sense, Bowmaster here. Because, you know, there are the Sultai control decks, essentially, which have really a good and reasonable matchup against these white-based control decks. And the white-based control decks, they can splash for multiple colors. They can go 4 or 5 color, but then this gets really punished by Wasteland and Daze and all these kind of things. And I'm thinking, and you can't go straight Esper either, which allows you to play Bowmaster and Swords, because then you're losing against Beans again. So yeah. You're in Esper colors, this would be really great because you can combine Swords against the Scaminator package and you have Bowmaster for all the other blue decks, but you're lacking a card advantage engine.
But you can't you still just play Stuff of the Storyteller?
And I don't think it's really good if you have a look at Bowmaster. A single Bowmaster like counters it completely. It pings the 1/1. If you draw a card, you get another trigger. And then if you have multiple stuffs.
But you have your own Bowmaster triggers the stuff again and so on. I mean, that was basically Yeah, that was basically my plan when I played the Mardu stuff for the Storyteller deck. And Bowmaster didn't really ever feel like a problem to me. It was like, yeah, you have your Bowmaster and I have my removal and my own Bowmaster.
Because you didn't play blue also.
Yeah.
Sometimes when you have to cast your Brainstorms, your Ponder, or when you sometimes you're just a really you have to play around. You cannot just go Brainstorm on turn 2 because you have to respect the Bowmaster from your opponent. And sometimes it really draws a lot of resources from you. you won't lose the game because of it, but you have to spend then a sword, so anything, a removal spell, to kill it. And I think this is an issue, actually. And maybe Bowmaster is, in some sense, then the issue. Because you could also go Bunt, for example, which would also be a white-based version that could, probably has a better matchup against Scaminator or any Scam deck.
Probably, yeah. Yeah.
But you have no access to Bonemaster in that case.
Yeah, I think Bunt is currently a little bit the way to go, because it like has a lot of the enablers for Beanstalk. You can play Catherine or, to some extent, a few Murktides. I mean, you lose the crucial 2-drop instant speed, which is like the neat thing again with Bonemasters. You can't really play the turn 2 Beanstalk. You can, but most of the time it's a trap. So you miss out the value of the 2 mana that you can do an instant speed. But later on in the game, you have like a lot of good cards that can close out the game, especially with Leyland Binding, a clean answer to like every permanent. You don't have to play Fatal Pushes and stuff like that. So it's, I think, one of the things that can be very, very good in the metagame currently.
That being said, I mean, we have a really, really, diverse meta game. We have even black green depth in the top 8. I mean, this is a deck that I have probably haven't seen in 2 or 3 years.
Very nice.
So we have no changes for the format, but there were also a lot of changes to the meta game, and therefore we can just look forward into the future.
I think this 4 Seasons tournament showed really nicely that the meta game is still not really solved in that sense. I think Goblins now being a little bit more popular is a good thing overall. It just means that the meta is shifting a little bit. People have adapted to Bowmaster also a little bit. We have Bunt versions now. Catherine is one big addition to the format from the Magic Online perspective. So there's a lot of things to explore still in the format, I think, and this is overall right now still a great place to be when you want to play Legacy.
Yeah, for example, we have no Ancient Tomb decks in the top 8, so it's definitely something we can explore on too. Maybe Goblins is playing one.
Yeah, Goblins is definitely playing Ancient Tomb.
Yeah, yeah, because they have to accelerate from
but
Sticky
no,
Goblin.
But no Mono Black. That was a big, big lead in the last couple Four Seasons tournaments.
That's true. But overall, seems really nice.
And with this, I think we can wrap up the episode. If you like what we are doing, consider following us on social media. It's @response_legacy, basically everywhere. You can find me on social media or on Twitter. It's @PhinnekMTG, PHINEKMTG. Daniel, where can we find you on social media?
You can find me also on Twitter. It is @FlyingDelvader. And Peter, where we can find you?
You can find me on Twitter. It's @UnicornLord. But you can also support us directly on Patreon and join the valuable crew of Moritz, Gino, and Matt. In response, please.
This was In Response, a Legacy podcast. If you enjoyed the ride, feel free to support the show by following, leaving a review, or subscribe on Patreon.com/response_legacy.